Welcome to the Killer Frogs, the podcast all about TCU athletics from the fans' point of view. My name is Sean Fouché, and this is episode 161 for Tuesday, September 14th of 2001. And on tonight's podcast, we've got TCU Hall of Famer Shannon Brazil. What's up, Shannon?
What's up, everybody? Glad to be back. Football is here, baby.
Yeah, it was a good. Ooh. It was a nice weekend, wasn't it?
Great weekend, man. Great weekend. Hey, 2-0, it's all that matters. We'll talk about it in a minute.
Yeah, absolutely. We also have on the podcast Nathan Hernandez. Hey, Nathan.
Hello. We're in the worst week for everybody. It's a bye week.
Yeah, it is the bye week. So we'll talk about whether or not we beat that opponent this weekend or not a little bit later on. We'll see how
not that goes. Defense.
Oh, I know. We also have on the podcast Hunter Nix. Hey, Hunter.
What's up, guys? 2-0.
2-0. That seems going to be the rallying cry for the next 2 weeks. Hey, we're 2-0.
All that matters.
Well, all that matters right now is whether or not we get the cooking utensil back from Dallas. So we'll talk about that next week. But yeah, that's what I'm focused on right now. And joining us on tonight's podcast, we've got a new member. Our basketball, Nick. How did we say that before? Sorry, you are our basketball guru specialist.
Specialist.
It's Nick Howard. Nick, welcome to the podcast. And Nick has been helping me out in the press box. In fact, if you've been checking out the Killer Frogs Twitter stream during the football games, that has all been Nick. So, Nick, welcome to the podcast tonight.
Oh, thank y'all. Thank y'all for finally having me on the show. I had to put my R&B voice on right quick.
See, he's got the smooth voice going on tonight, doesn't he? Hey, you gonna announce the next jazz set, Nick? What you're gonna do. Love the voice. That's great. And of course, rounding out our panel tonight is TCU Hall of Famer WC Nix. Hey, Dubber.
Whoa, how y'all doing? I'm excited. 2-0. Hey, it's better to be 2-0 than 1-1 with a pretty loss. Ugly wins always better than a pretty loss.
Amen. Amen. We always talk about win by one, Patterson's famous quote. We'll definitely take a win by two. Be nice to be 2-0 going into the bye week. So that's great. Well, before we get to the game, there are a couple of quick little announcements to start off with. The TCU Women's Basketball has announced their Ice Cream Social, which is going to be on September 24th at 4 p.m. And that's going to be at the Stewart Family Courtside Club Room. It is a free event, but they are asking you to go ahead and RSVP. So if you would, you're going to need to send an email to j.clifton@tcu.edu. to reserve your spot, and that's j.clifton@tcu.edu. If you've never been to one of these ice cream socials, they are fantastic. So highly recommend checking that out. Again, that's going to be September 26th at 4 p.m., and that's the TCU Women's Basketball Ice Cream Social. Also, some of the upcoming games that are not football-based this week. Volleyball is going to be playing on September 14th and September 18th, and that September 18th game is actually going to be against SMU. So if you're looking forward to that, that's going to be an interesting one. Volleyball has actually been on a tear for the last couple of weeks. They did drop one, late last week, but they've been on a tear lately. So if you haven't gone out to see Jill's team this year, highly recommend it. Soccer also is playing, what is it, Pepperdine, I think, on September 16th, and that's a 7 o'clock game. So get out there, go ahead and support volleyball and soccer. Those are going to be some really good games to kind of tie us over during the bye week. That's it for announcements. Like I said, it was pretty short this week. So let's dive into the meat of tonight's podcast, which is this game against Cal on Saturday. TCU goes into a home match against Cal and comes away in the rematch of the Cheez-It Bowl, which I think we'd all like to forget, and wins 34-32. And as WC said, it was an ugly win, but it was a win nonetheless.
You know, this way I look at that win, I think after last week, the first game against Duquesne, that was more like a scrimmage or Cade. That, yeah, it's more like a scrimmage. You know how they say you get better between your most improvements between your first and second game.
Oh, yeah.
I really believe our most improvements going to be between Cal and SMU, because I look at Duquesne as almost a scrimmage game, or Duquesne as a scrimmage game. And I look at this week I looked at, you know, I told you I thought we'd have a rough time for the first quarter, maybe the second quarter. Of course, the rough time just kept on the whole game. And I just think that was because we played such better competition and all, there were some holes that needed to be coached up that didn't get coached up because Duquesne didn't show us those holes.
Third time's the charm.
And we saw them this week. So I believe we're going to make a big jump between Cal and SMU. So that's my big point. So y'all take it away.
I like that observation, and I agree with you. I think that, you know, especially given the fact that we have a bye week and we get a chance to get some of the players that are hurt hopefully back. And, Nick, let me address that real quick. Did Gary Patterson in his postgame address any possibility of getting some of these players back in time for SMU?
Definitely. He wanted to express the – this bye week is very pivotal for getting everybody back, especially for, you know, how offense, they kind of struggled starting out that game. So they definitely expressed working out some of those wrinkles going into a SMU game, especially that was one of Max's interests too. He said he knew he had some big-time struggles, some easy passes that he obviously missed that he wants to work on those as well.
Yeah, and that was a big – I think that was probably the big point that a lot of TCU fans had with Max in this game was just the lack of accuracy on the deep ball. Intermediate passes seem to be there, but there's obviously some stuff that he wants to work on. It's good to hear that he recognizes that and wants to work on it. But just to buttress the point that WC made, I totally agree with you, WC. I think that most of the improvement this team is going to see is between week two and week four in this particular case. It's good to hear that coach is feeling that as well. But let's go back to that Max comment that Nick just mentioned, and Hunter, Max looked sharp during the Duquesne game. Mm-hmm. And I think all of us were kind of like, okay, some of the things that happened towards the end of last season seem maybe have been ironed out. But he comes into this game and he's missing 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 wide open receivers, and they're all downfield routes. What did you make of that?
I mean, yeah, I think it's a repetition thing at this point. Not, you know, maybe I'm not saying they've not worked on it, but, you know, as Dad said, as you guys all kind of said, they played a pretty inferior opponent the first week. It's the first time really seeing live bullets, I believe. And, you know, he knows he's got to fix it. He, you know, he kind of hit that head on in the press conference, which I respected tons because, you know, he could have really come out and been defensive and said, you know, we played an okay game. Max had over 300 yards of total offense, 4 TDs. You know, if we're saying how bad of a game he played with that.
Well, he had 5 TDs if you count the one he threw to Cal.
Okay, yeah, and the one he threw to Cal. But, I mean, you got to think, that's a bad, bad game for this guy. So if he hits on one, two of those longer passes, the game has a chance to go into a totally different direction. And, you know, I'm not super worried going forward. You know, I feel like we're getting the wrinkles out. It's just what it is.
I will say this. I won't say it's a red flag. I just say it's a yellow flag, maybe, because we've been talking about this deep ball backs for a couple of years. You know what I mean? So it's something he's got to, and we have the receivers. I'm just telling you.
It's not a talent thing, though, because he made some throws that – I mean, the throw to Blair Conrad on the touchdown was a dime. I mean, he put it where only he could get it. The one to Quentin Johnson over the middle. I mean, he put it where only Quentin could get that ball.
Well, that long third down pass that he needed to Conrad was to Conrad as well. That was right on the money.
But you got to hit at least half of them deep balls.
You do.
If he does that, we might be – this might be a totally different conversation today.
For sure.
It might be a blowout.
But
they hit their passes. We didn't. And that's something that Max, I'm a little worried about just because he can hit a lot of different passes. But we have deep threat all over our offense. I mean, you look at our wide receivers and, you know, Nathan and Shannon, they've been around. Well, you know, Shannon's getting a little older now. But talent-wise, I'm just telling you, I've never seen so much talent at the wide receiver spot. And so we got to be able to hit the deep ball because we've got guys. It's amazing to me that we have a couple of guys that are 6'3", 6'4", 6'5", whatever they are. They run right by the little guy. I mean, they're wide open. We're not talking about Barber and our little scat back wide receiver. We're talking about our big receivers that have sprinter speed. If we're gonna be a great football team, Max has got to take care of that problem.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if anybody sees it like I do, but that's just – and I love Max because he is such a competitor, and he's a hard-working kid. And, I mean, you can tell – I mean, he gives it all he has. So I'm not saying any of that, but we just got to figure out something about the deep ball.
Well, Nathan, let me bring you in on this real quick. Because one of the things that the wide receiver position, the problem that we've had is either A, the wide receivers weren't fighting for the ball when they had an opportunity, or B, the passes just didn't seem to make it there. Now, what I saw from Max seemed to be that his pass was fairly flat in its trajectory. He wasn't putting enough air in the ball. But when he was able to get the ball to the receivers were able to fight for it. Where do you see the wide receivers and Max kind of the disconnect or where they need to work to be able to get that to complete, like WC said, at least half the time? We may have lost Nathan.
I know, because he's got this look that hasn't changed for a few minutes.
Yeah, I think we lost him. Shannon, let me pass it to you, man. As a defensive player, where do you see this? Do you see that the defense is just reading the routes really well? Do you think that it's the pressure on Max because the offensive line and WC? You can talk to that later on, or do you feel like maybe just Max needs a better touch on the ball?
I this is what you know. As you all were talking, everybody's kind of right. First thing I'm not, and I say kind of right. Everybody's opinions are on online. My thing is consistency.
You can tell us we're wrong. It's perfectly okay. Yeah.
Well, no, it's just but what I'm saying right now, I'm not going to panic now, right? This is the second game of the season. First game, like, quote, unquote, a scrimmage. We got hit in the mouth, right? The second game, we responded. We got into good old-fashioned tug-of-war. I mean, we back and forth. And those type of games are hard. And anytime you can find a way to win, it does a lot for your team. Now, granted – offense had its struggles, but listen, I love talking about the deep ball on the defense of our cornerbacks, our safeties. We were getting blasted, guys, and we quote unquote got one of the top corners in the league. You know, our defense has come along, and guys, you know, I was with the crew last, you know, after the game, and the big part of what we were saying, LT and a couple other players were like, the deep ball on the defense, man.
You can't go to the defense yet, Shannon. We're trying to. You got to break down the offense. We're going to go to all kinds of time.
Shannon don't care about the offense. He just wants the defense.
y'all crucified them already.
Our token defensive guy, boy, he turned it right off the offense and flipped it to the defense so quick.
He wants to talk about Caesar. That's what he wants to talk about. He wants to talk about Caesar.
He wants to talk about that. And we should talk about it. We did. There's a lot we can talk about on both sides. So keep going.
But the fact of the matter is, again, not panicking, but we as a whole, as a team, we've got to start being consistent.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that's the thing. We, you know, the quarterback play, you know, receivers, like we got to cut already now, again, we played a hard team last week, and we did what we did last week, and then we played another hard team this week, and then we're a totally different team. There we go. But since this is the first game we got punched in the mouth, I'm going to wait and see how we respond to SMU, because let me tell you guys, you don't think SMU is coming in here or whatever the case may be. We go over there, they come in here to kick our teeth in, which, tell me, we were talking about that too. SMU is going to come to play, and they're not a bad team, guys. We all know that SMU is not the same SMU from years ago. They're coming to play, so we're going to have another challenge right out of the gate. So I hope we get things corrected over the bye weekend, which that's a whole nother conversation. And I hope we're ready to go on both sides of the ball, because we're not. That's going to get our butts whooped.
Wow. Shannon, since we'll go back to the offense, but since we got Shannon up and riled about the defense, the one beautiful thing about this week, you tell me if you think I'm right, Shannon. The way Cal played us defensively, offensively to our defense is exactly what SMU is going to do to us. They're going to take them wide receivers and run go routes and tell you, let me see if your quarterback can cover our wide receiver one-on-one. And, that's how SMU beat us the last few years. I mean, that's how they beat us last time. So I am happy about that because, you know what? We got to see it. We got the Cal. Cal took a page out of SMU's book and said, hey, we know what y'all are going to do. We know your scheme. So we're just going to run goes. And we're going to throw the ball up to the wide receiver, and we're going to see how good your cornerbacks are, which I think plays really well into us getting prepared for SMU. What do you think? Yep.
I agree. Listen, that guy on the east side of town, one thing about him, he's not scared to spread that ball around. He's not scared to throw the deep ball. He is consistent with the deep ball. There's a difference, and I'm not saying – I'm not panicking our quarterback play, but that's just who they are. They're going to test you deep, and we're going to get tested back-to-back weeks. I know it's bye week, but we're going to get tested back-to-back games. So, to your point, correct, because now we've seen it, we've done it. Now we just, as you compare film from last year to this year and see what the schemes that SMU's run, I think we just got that test last week, which helps us out for the game next week or in 2 weeks. So, I agree with you on that point, but I'm telling you guys, we've got to get that corrected. We can't – I don't think we're deep enough to go, tick for tack or go the back and forth all season long, especially if we're not going to be healthy. It's just not a good formula for TCU.
You want to stay on the defense?
Well, let's stay on defense for a moment because I have a point to make on this. It's good. We can go back to offense in a minute because we've got a lot to talk about on the offense as well. Mm-hmm. But to Shannon's point about getting better, and I want to throw this out and see if you guys kind of saw this as well. I mentioned Caesar a little while ago, and Caesar got picked on a lot in the first half. And Gary made some adjustments in the second half, and they weren't, mind-blowing adjustments. It wasn't like suddenly we're shutting Cal down, but there were some adjustments in the secondary that helped Caesar out, and I thought he got better as the game went on. And that, to me, is a positive, because if we're going to have any success in doing like what Shannon's talking about, and that is keeping games where we're not suddenly in a shootout all the time. Although we did talk about possibility of needing this offense to be able to handle those kind of situations. And I think we've seen that, and that'll be a segue back to the offense in a minute, WC. But I think Caesar did what I would expect him to do. He got burned in the beginning. He picked himself up. He dusted himself off. He got better as the game went on, and they stopped throwing it to his direction about halfway through the third quarter. From that point on, I kind of felt good about the secondary, and they had to find success on the ground, which was, another thing altogether. We can talk about defensive line, but I think that bodes well for us because we've seen that in the past with Tejada. We've seen that with Verrett, where they've had a couple of games where they just got burned and burned bad. But it's how they got up and how they actually responded to that that made them some of the best cornerbacks that we've had on this team in the years past. And I like to see that out of Caesar. I'd like to see more out of Caesar when we start getting into conference play, but I think that was a bright spot.
Well, let me tell you, Thomason got beat too. Got beat. Mm-hmm. I mean, it wasn't like it was just Caesar. Thomason got beat too. And I think that, Sean, I agree with you totally. I think that bodes well for. I'm so glad we saw that because I think that's a SMU. I think what they did just totally. I think they will attack us the same way as Cal did, and I think it bodes well for us to watch Caesar and Thomason. But you know what? In Gary's scheme, the dang quarterback has to be two things. He has to have a short memory, and he has to be tough. Because it wasn't like – I mean, you're right. They made little adjustments, but really and truly the second half – hey, let me tell you, Cal, you got to give them some credit. They hit some passes that they our guys were all over them. I mean, all over them. But at the end of the day, we got some tough guys back there that don't get rattled. And they just, I felt like, I agree with you. I felt like, though, they just kept getting better. What do you think, Nick or Hunter? Nick or Hunter, we just dominant men, Chad and John, been dominating the time. And Nathan, we'd like to hear from you, but you keep
bailing out on us
and coming back.
I'll leave it at that. I will say this on to your point. One thing about Tomlinson, you're right. I was not leaving anybody out. I was trying not to call names, but since we mentioned Caesar, you have to throw him in the mix too. WC, two things. The quarterback was throwing some dimes because a lot of times they're right there. You just got to make a play on the ball, and it seemed the ball was just in great position to benefit the receiver. But you know, there's a difference when you start having help too. You start safety play and you start kind of covering guys, their confidence is gonna go through the roof. Because listen, when you're playing on an island and you're by yourself, it don't feel like you're part of a team at times. You're by yourself. That feeling alone, unless you got some cojones and you own that position as Tomlinson has, I'm not sure about Caesar, but they're going to get better. But that's a hell of a position.
It really is.
You know what I mean? And so I think they'll get better. I know Tomlinson will because that's just, he's the, hey, listen, we're ready to one of the top cornerbacks in the nation.
Mm-hmm.
You got to play better. And
well,
I think
second half, he was really, he played, both of them played, but Tomlinson really stepped up second half and I thought played lights out.
I mean, I
really did. But I take some of that as we played Duquesne the first game. And also we played a team that had some athletes. And all of a sudden, it kind of caught them by surprise a little bit.
Well, Hunter, let me get you in on this real quick.
Yeah.
Because so, one of the biggest problems I think that we've seen out of this defense that is a piece to the cornerback play is the lack of pressure on the defensive line.
You hit that one on the nose there, Sean, because we had two hurries from the D-line. That was their stat. That was their stat line, getting to the quarterback. Two hurries. We had three sacks. None of them were D-linemen. Bethley had a hurry, and Dylan Horton had a hurry. If we've got these guys out on the island, we've got to get pressure up front, and we've not had it the last two games against two teams that you really need to. 27 dropbacks, and you get zero sacks from your D-line. It's not great. Not good at all, especially with what is considered, you know, what I would say coming into the season, I thought that would be a real strength of the team. We are missing Coleman right now, who is who's probably our best straight pass rusher. But
that's my boy.
Ochon Mathis is, you know, he's a third-year starter, and I was really expecting him to come out and, you know, put up some big stats these first two games, and I've been a little bit disappointed in that.
Yeah, that's a big problem. Nick?
Yeah, you got to give Kyle credit, though, how they played it perfectly. Just like it was like they had a max protection on that offensive line as well. So they knew what they were getting themselves into with that defensive line, which is a monster of a defensive line. So they definitely just going to test those corners like how you already stated.
Yeah.
Well,
I thought that's a great point, Nick. You know, because you give max protection, and that's probably what they were doing. You give that max protection, and then you just throw the deep ball. You know, that's kind of hard to cover that. You know,
especially when you have a quarterback who was as accurate as he was on Saturday.
Man, the first half, that dude
he had a career day.
First half, he didn't miss anything. He was unbelievable.
Yeah, it was interesting. Now, on the flip side of the ball, we have to mention a couple of things. Since we already brought up the offensive line for Cal, let's bring up the offensive line for TCU. And Dubber, I know you want to talk about this. I have yet to see the breakout, just over-the-top performance from an offensive line yet. And with a team like Cal, who, if you look at their stats, their defensive linemen were very large, somewhat slow, and they still seem to dominate the offensive line here for TCU and didn't give Max a whole lot of time to throw the ball on Saturday.
Well, I agree with that. I mean, I was I was expecting, you know what? I mean, my deal is one of them got a penalty, and I was proud of him. Got a 15-yard penalty for a little late, whatever. And I was happy about that because, I mean, I just wanted our guys to play tough. And not all of them play tough, but I will have to say this, you know, a running back ended up with 180 yards rushing. So in the second half, we wore them down a little bit. But I think, like Shannon said, on the defensive side, it comes down to consistency. I mean, on the offense side. And we still don't have that. But, of course, Wes Harris just got back in this week. You know, so, you know, the offense line's a little unique. You got five guys that you need to be individually good, but almost better than them being good. They have to play good together. If they don't play good together, I mean, you're screwed. If four of them play good together and one of them doesn't, you're screwed. I mean, that's just the way the offensive line is. If you play, you know, three of them play great, two of them play okay, then you're just going to be okay. So I'm willing to give them another week to continue to develop. And, to, you know, I knew they held out Wes because he's been injured the last couple of years and they wanted to make sure. So, but you're right. I mean, all I kept hearing from them out of the offseason is more physical, more physical, more physical. And I'm not so sure. I mean, I'm not buying in that yet, but at the same time, it takes a little time for that continuity to happen with those five.
Well, hopefully they find it by the time we get to SMU in week four, because they're going to need it. But you did bring up one point. While the passing protection was not good,
running was great.
The run blocking was phenomenal. Yeah. And I don't know, Nathan, I don't know how much of that was the offensive line, or was it more about who was running the ball?
When you got someone that good, everyone can look good. That's why you have one of those guys who's just a stud, and that's why you give him the ball 22 times, because he's a stud. He makes you all look good.
That's true.
Ain't that right, WC?
Hey, let me tell you. Henderson said something to me that drove me crazy today. He said, we're only trying to give him the ball 10 to 15 carries, bull crap. I mean, that guy right there, I mean, he's what makes you all conference when you're not all conference. I mean, he's just that good. I mean, you know, I'm going to tell you, I'm more excited about two players on our offense, Johnston and Evans. Because Evans made a couple of runs Saturday. There was two runs. One, when he made the long run, that he put his hand down. He put his hand down on the ground, and he popped back up. And nobody really, you know, is a long game, but he just did it so smoothly. People don't even realize. And then there was a play where it should have been about a 2-yard loss, and it was a 3-yard gain. But let me tell you, as an offensive lineman, I'm looking at it thinking, dang, that was the prettiest 3-yard gain I've ever seen. It should have been a 2-yard loss. Then it should have been a no gain. Then it should have been a 1-yard gain. And it ended up being a 3 or 4-yard gain. And I'm like, most people will look at that and think, oh, crap, it's just a 3-yard. I'm looking at it thinking, that dude made our offensive line look so good. It should have been a 2-yard loss. Let me tell you something. I'm not saying he's good as LaDainton, but he's the first guy that I've seen in all these years that have the chance to be mentioned in LT's, just same breath as LT.
In the ballpark is what you're saying.
In the ballpark. That's right. In the
ballpark, right. Well, I mean,
you know what? I love the kid. He says the right thing. He says, I don't care how many carries I get. I don't care this. It's all about the team. He says all the – he is one of my favorite people of all the players that – I mean, in the last 15 years. Wow. I mean, I love that he's a five-star athlete, and he said, I bought into the team concept. And you got to love that. As a player, there's nothing better than that. But the dude is a five-star running back, and I think when it's all said and done, he will prove that he's a five-star running back.
Well, I mean, if you just look at the stats on Saturday alone, and he was honored as the Big 12 Offensive Player of the Week. Well-deserved, right? And Nathan, let me bring you in on this. So Zach Evans are going into this game with SMU, moving from what you saw in Cal. Were you a little shocked to see them run max as much as they did, given what Zach Evans is able to do?
What we run is he has – it's always a read, not always.
Don't lie, Nathan. Don't lie. Just go tell the truth.
The read, and so okay, if aren't running well, then the read doesn't work, because I have to respect our running backs, and a running back going off like Zach Evans was going off, and just yard loss turned into a 3 yard gain, like in just in situations like that where he's pretty much dominating whoever.
Oh, we're losing you, Nathan. Sorry, your mic's cutting in and out on you there.
Hey, Nathan said, hey, because I agree with Nathan. I totally, Nathan was texting her to the game and he's like, why aren't we having to, you know, hit it to Evans instead of letting Max run? I agree with him. We got a guy that's averaging 9 yards a carry. Why would we be putting our quarterback in that situation when we got a bona fide stud at running back? And I agree totally with him. I mean, I'm right there with you, Nathan, on that one.
And from what I was hearing, go ahead, Nathan.
I was just the reason I said that was because I was shocked that, you know, Evans takes us all the way down the field, and then as soon as we go for a 2-point conversion, we spread out and go empty. Like, why are you spreading it out? Why not just put, like, do what we used to do with Shaywo, get in a jumbo package, and then let him get his 3 yards. Like, he's going to get 3 yards. Like, they hadn't stopped him up to that point.
Right.
Like, even if they stop him, like, he's still going to make a positive gain out of it. So I don't agree with spreading it out on the 2-point conversion. I think we should have just given him the ball, let him take it in. And then I was also going to say,
say it, Nathan.
We're talking about the O-line. Can verify this. I've always heard, and I know because I never played O-line, well, in like sixth grade, but it's easier to run block than it is to pass block, because you can get downhill, you can get moving, and pass block is a whole different game. You've got to keep a dude in front of you while keeping your feet wide and everything. And that's why I think we did well run blocking on Saturday. I forgot what day it was. Because it's an easier game to get to. Like, it's an easier concept to grasp. So that's why I'm hoping for SMU our pass blocking is a lot better. And I would love to see it be better. But then that's why you have a five-star running back. So that in situations where the O-line fails, make up for it. Because as soon as he gets past the lineman, he's on his own, like, unless the receivers are blocking downfield. But he's got to make guys miss after he gets past the line. So I think that overall on Saturday, everybody just kind of clicked in the run game with pass game.
The pass game was a little on and off. seeing, like, 35 total yards of offense in the first quarter was bad. But everybody seemed to improve as the game went on, and that was nice to see, except for that deep
texted pass. It to the group
Max just looked shook in the beginning. Like he didn't like it wasn't they were getting back there, but he had space to throw and he had time from what I could see to set his feet and throw. And there was one, it was a third down, and he missed Tay Barber short because he didn't set his feet and he almost tripped over himself. He just seemed so rushed at the beginning, like the first two drives of the game. And then he started to settle down a little bit and you could see him making those passes and the offense was clicking, but I don't know. I honestly don't know why he seemed like that to me, but.
Yeah, I think a couple guys on the board were mentioning that he did seem like he was a little anxious, a little nervous. It was nervous Max again. And he just needed time to settle down. And it took that entire first quarter for him to get to that point. But hopefully, and based on what Nick was telling us about the post game, and Nick, bring you in here, it sounds like Max has identified that as a potential issue and something that he's going to work on in the off week here.
Yeah, definitely. Just came way too late. Like Shannon said earlier, it's only the second week, only the second game. It's time to improve, but you got the bye week, so it's time to improve now. You can't wait no later. You got to get it now. Your key point on Nathan on the offensive line, I agree with that. They talk so much about how athletic that offensive line is, so it was definitely easier for them to run block down the field, pass block, and I'm not sure where their strength level is, so they might need to work on that. What do you think on that?
You said something there, Dan.
Hunter, you play quarterback. What do you think about what Max said?
If we can't pass block, how athletic are we?
Well, but to WC's point, it's not so much the athleticism of the line that makes a good pass blocking line. It's about the coordination of the line that makes a good
pass blocking line. Well, it's also the technique. If you know what? I can take an average athlete, and if he's got great technique, he's all right. But if you take a guy, you know, our tackles, they keep talking about how great our tackles are. You know, 6'7", 6'8", 340, 340, athletic. If you got the right technique, I mean, sheesh. You ought to be all day long, you're right. But – so I'm not saying anything about anything because it's the first week. It's the second week, but I'm looking at it as the first week. I just think that the speed of the game, they weren't used to. And so that's where I'm going with that.
Say this. Now we should ask you a question. You know this. And we just mentioned about the quarterback play. When you're nervous and you need to settle him down, what do? You hand it off to the
That's right.
You calm him down. You march up the field. You settle your quarterback down. That's what we have to do a better job of, you know? So that'll stop some of the wild balls and some of the bad passes because, again, it was about consistency. But he was so giddy so soon, you got to calm him down by getting the run game. So, you know, hopefully we'll do a better job of that next week.
And as the run game keeps getting better.
I hope we change it up a little bit because I don't know if y'all saw it, but we throw the ball. It doesn't go good. We run the ball, and then we throw the ball. I mean, let's change it up, and let's confuse them a little bit. Let's maybe run the ball, throw the ball, throw the ball, or run the ball, throw the ball.
Nick, you remember this. We're up in that press box.
Run the ball, throw the ball.
Okay, but remember, we were up in that press box, and that one late drive, they didn't throw a single pass. That late touchdown drive. Not one pass. It was all runs. Remember that, Nick? I pointed that out. I was like, you wouldn't believe this? Not a single pass in that dire series. I would be perfectly happy if they came out and they did that half of the series against SMU, because I honestly don't think that defense is going to be able to stop the stable of running backs that we've got for four straight quarters. I don't think that's going to happen. But what really blows my mind, and I think Hunter pulled this out, is when they come out and they go empty backfield, five wides, and you're not even sniffing a hint that you're going to hand it off to somebody like Evans or Miller. And you're taking that off the table immediately, and that allows that defense to pin their ears back. And I do not understand why Meacham goes into that with the type of running backs we've got on this team. We should go to that Shewo jumbo package stuff that we've seen in the past. Put Miller and Evans back there and make them guess. Is it going to be Max, Evans, Miller? Play action, pass over the middle to maybe the, heaven forbid, a tight end? I mean, who knows what might happen in that case?
What happened to Wildcat? Remember, we used to run the Wildcat with all those running backs we had. We have a ton of running back power. I'm absolutely cool with the Wildcat. Let's run, let's give them a – listen, you're good on good. You stop us. You all stop
right. All of us – I want to hear what Hunter has to say about Max, because Hunter is a unique position that he played quarterback. He graduated –
What about him?
He was pretty good at it.
What do you? And, what about him, though?
Well, just about the whole.
I think he was definitely jittery, but I think that's first game type stuff. And to kind of bring it all back, the O line, yes, first game type stuff. But when you have a really good running back like Max, you hand it off. That brings that defense forward, and then Max is going to have a little bit more time because they can't pin their ears back as much because you've got a stud running back that they've got to defend. And then once they start defending that guy, bring some defenders up, that makes it a little bit easier on Max. We just need to run the freaking ball, make it easy on our running quarterback, run the ball, give Evans as many carries as we have to until they decide they want to stop the run, then we can throw over the top of them.
Well, that's one thing, you know, Nathan, you talked about the, you know, down on the goal line, but I talk about the end of the game. You know what? I don't want Max running the ball. I love Max.
None.
There's two things. Max get hurt, or Max is fast and this and that. He ain't Evans fast. He ain't that good. I mean, Evans, Evans made 4 yards when it should have been a negative several times. So my deal is, I agree with Hunter. You know what? Why not start off the game and say, hey, you better stop the run first. But I kind of halfway disagree. We are so deep in wide receiver that that could be a positive for us. But I do agree with you. We have to establish something that says that, hey, if you're going to try to stop the pass, we'll just run down your throat all day long.
Well, you talk about establishing something. What we need to establish is an offensive identity. We don't have
that's right.
We just perfect. Don't have
sure. I don't know if Meacham does that. Meacham's he's kind of everywhere.
Well, he needs to be more focused, because you're not going to be able to go into this conference and do well in this conference this season if we don't have an identity on offense. We just can't shoot from the hip.
I'm a homer. I think he's going to get it taken care of.
No, I hope so.
Your point, I want to WC. I want to say this because I don't believe, you know, I don't believe in records are meant to be broken. Great players that come along, you know, if we could consistently have great players come in like the LaDainian. So I'm going to go back to that statement. I'm totally fine. And yes, that's my brother. Yes, I'll play with him. Yes, he's great. I'm totally fine with another running back coming in, being the next LT, doing the same
yep.
thing. I'm totally fine with quarterbacks coming in and playing like Dalton. And I'm guaranteeing those guys will be totally fine with it too.
Yep.
We need guys to come in, play on those levels. So to Sean's point, we will have consistency. We will have an identity. We know what's going to happen. Because one thing about people week in, week out, they knew LT was going to get the ball, and they couldn't stop it. So I want Evans to come through there and be the next LT or whatever he needs to be, because we have identity. At least we have some players that's going to take it to the next level, and good luck stopping it. So we welcome those players. We need them.
I saw Nathan had his hand up. What do you got to say, Nathan?
And what was our running back committee like when LT was there? I'm sorry, I'm young. I don't know how many running backs we had.
There was
LT.
No
it
wasn't committee much of junior a committee. And senior year. He didn't start till his junior year, though, right? Wasn't Basil Mitchell there before?
I think that's why we don't have like an LT now. So in my opinion, obviously, like I watched LT play growing up. Hicks is one of the smoothest runners that I've ever seen in my life. Like, he was a great back in my and I put him up there with maybe not because his career didn't pan out like LT did, but in terms of college athleticism, like Kyle Higgs is up there for me. But we had so many talented running backs at that time that he didn't get the ball every single down, every single drive. We had, even when he was there, we had Shewo, Aaron Green, Jet. Like, we had so many running backs. And, like, obviously, like, in this, like, comparison with a lot of sports, is like the skill level was just different. I'm not taking anything away from LT. He's
No, bro.
Well, here's the difference, though.
To have that,
Shannon will back me up on this. LT was on a completely different level than everybody else on the field. I mean, if you went back and retroactively starred LT, he's a five-star, 100%. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't just because of what happened after he left TCU. It was when he was at TCU. Everybody knew how special he was. Everyone knew how special he was outside of our conference. This was something everybody was looking at going, man, this guy, I mean, he's in New York. Should have gotten a Heisman. Yeah. And if TCU was in a different conference, would have gotten a Heisman.
Sean,
and I think that shows exactly what type of runner he was.
Yeah. Sean, he started out as a fullback, though.
Oh yeah.
I mean, you gotta realize that he started out as a fullback, and we got lucky a little bit and tailback. Evans is a pure tailback, five star, and so you know what you got right off the bat right here.
Yep.
I mean, and so LT, I agree with everything everybody said.
He had to prove himself though through TCU.
Yeah, I mean, you're exactly right. He did prove himself. And I hope Evans is going to prove himself the same way. But let me tell you, offensively, we are loaded. I mean, we are loaded at wide receiver. We are loaded at tailback. We are loaded at tight end. I'm not going to say we're loaded at offensive line. We are loaded.
We're just on the natural passer.
We're probably loaded six deep. I will say this. You realize, you know, every time I turn on the pro game, it seems like we got an offensive tackle or an offensive guard that played for TCU somewhere. I mean, it's ridiculous. You know, we sit there and we kind of bash on the offensive line, and I know I'm hard on them, but crap, we've got tons of offensive linemen in the pros. I mean, you know, so we – I think we need to flip to defense now because, you know, we
well, let me answer.
Well, we're going to wrap up here in a minute.
Yeah, we'll wrap
Shannon,
up.
Shannon, go ahead.
Not to go down history lane, and I'm not going to do that, but the difference is back then, Nathan, the load and what makes LT so special, we didn't have backups. Like, we didn't have the depth chart at running back. It was all LT, bro. He couldn't afford to get dinged up or hurt, man. We had to take care of him in practice. He didn't do much practicing because on Saturday, you were going to get a full dose of LT. So he's one of those guys who had an NFL schedule Monday through Friday because he didn't practice with, you know, because he didn't have to, because we had to protect him. And so the day today, and that's why history means so much, because of the things that the teams did back there, our class or whatever you want to name it, that's why we feel so good about it these days, because nobody has to bear that responsibility by themselves anymore. Because LT's one of the true running backs who did it by himself with one fullback. That's it. So, no, to answer your question, it was not a depth chart back there at running back, bro. Like, and there's been a lot of great running backs come through, a lot of good running backs come through here since then, and I respect a lot of them. So,
absolutely.
And, you know,
I think on that point,
I'm old school, Sean. And so the sense is, I'm going to give Evans the ball 20, 25 times a game. I'm not going to give the ball 10, 15 times a game. I want that dude carrying the ball. Hey, Miller's a great running back. The third string, what's his my mind blank.
Dame Ricardo, but he didn't start.
Yeah, he's a great running back. But let me tell you, they are a step or two behind Evans. And I'm all about winning football games. So I want him to carry the ball 20, 25 times a game. I can't help it.
I agree. And I think that's a good spot to kind of end it for tonight, because Evans, we need to see more Evans. And I think that is something that can help establish the identity that we're talking about for this TCU offense. I think you've got to build it with the pieces that you've got, and I think Evans is the tip of that spear. I think if we're going to see success this season, we've got to see a heavy dose of Evans. If anything else, just to help Max out, to get Max's head on straight, to help him out with any sort of anxiety he may have or nervousness he may have, rely on Evans to be that, basically that backstop that Max needs. But also be, to Shannon's point, be the guy that this team can lean on consistently, just like LT was back in the 2000s for TCU. And I think Evans is that type of player. I think Evans is exactly the kind of guy, the piece that we need to make sure that this team will succeed this season. And it's going to be interesting to see. We've got a bye week coming up. TCU obviously will win that game. Yay. But we will be fighting for the Iron Skillet next week, or week after next, rather. It is an 11 a.m. game. We just found out about that, today. Not really happy about that unless, you know, hey, mimosas, Bloody Marys, and tacos for tailgating. That's always a lot of fun. Exactly. We'll talk about that a little bit more next week. Want to thank everybody out there who's joining us on the podcast. Of course, you can find the Killer Frogs podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, pretty much everywhere podcasts are found. Of course, you can follow Killer Frogs on Twitter, Instagram, and all the social media networks out there. And of course, go to killerfrogs.com and you can log into our forum and you can discuss TCU athletics with the rest of us. Log in there when this podcast is up, find the podcast forum, and let us know what you think about what we talked about tonight. With that, we've come to the end of the podcast. It's the time where we all get our frogs up, and we get to say, go frogs!
Go frogs!